Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Y'all tell the people them, no? Uh-huh.
Welcome to God in the Midst Christian Fellowship Ministry. Our host is Apostle Barbara Kizzy. Thank you for joining us today. Our lines will be open so you can call 516-418-5699 with your comments, questions, personal prophecy, or prayer requests. Again, our number is 516-418-5699. And God bless to everyone who called in and everyone in the chat room. God in the Midst, otherwise known as GITM or Get 'em Radio, is an apostolic ministry whose charge is to help encourage, edify, and equip the people of God who are called to home churches, small churches, or parachurch ministries. For those of you who are joined us for the first time, home churches, small churches, and parachurch ministries may be small in number, but we know when we are faithful with a few things, the Lord make us ruler over much. We're featuring home, small, and parachurch ministries by interviewing them, as well as presenting special, encouraging, and educational things monthly. We hope that as you hear these broadcasts, the Lord will confirm what he has placed on your heart. It may encourage you to step out boldly. It may even catapult you to the next dimension in the Lord and ministry.
Tell the people that, no?
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to God in the Midst, Get 'em Radio. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. We thank you that this is the day that you have made. We make a choice to rejoice with a loud voice and to be glad in it. Thank you so much, Lord God. We thank you for your word that says that if two or more are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. Thank you for being in the midst tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We continue to dedicate this broadcast to you and say, Lord, have your way, move by your spirit. Do as only you can do. And thank you, Lord, for touching each and every person, each and every household represented, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Whatever is wrong, we ask you to make it right. And whatever is right, we ask you to take it, set it apart, and dedicate it for your use, for your glory. And we just want to say, Lord, we love you. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. So if you've been listening to us this month, you know it's been all about love. Hallelujah. And we've been talking about the five love languages with our guest speakers, Minister Mary and Minister Lenny Yarbrough. We've been having such a great time with them this month, and I want to give them as much time as they need. So without further ado, I want to introduce to some and present to all my sister and brother-in-law, brother in love, hallelujah, Minister Mary and Minister Lenny Yarbrough. Welcome, welcome.
Well, hello, hello, everyone.
Hello.
It's awesome to be back, and thank you, Apostle Kizzy, for that lovely introduction. We feel like rock stars over here.
All right,
yes,
now.
Thank you for having us back again this week. We don't take it lightly. We appreciate it, and we value Get 'Em Radio. And we just want to say, you know, how blessed and fortunate we feel to have the opportunity to share with you and to share with everyone on the Get 'Em Family Radio.
And certainly what we have been talking about all month are actually strategies and things that we have used in our own marriage to keep us going and to keep us strong for over, well, nearly 40 years of marriage, and of course over 40 years in a relationship. So it has been a chore for Mary to keep up with me and me to keep up with her. But that's what it is all about. And having the skills and having the tools to do it has rendered a very successful experience for us. But before we really get into the lesson, I want to really acknowledge Mary for the great job that she did on last Thursday teaching about quality time.
Thank you.
That was a good job, Mary.
Thank you. I appreciate that from the both of you. I wasn't alone. I had my co-host with me, Apostle, and she did very well in substituting for you.
Well, that's awesome. I was in Houston visiting with friends and on the program there, and I was received well, and I just appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity to still, you know, participate there on the end. So
last week, awesome.
Last week we learned the first of the the second of the five love languages, which was quality time. Mary taught very well on it, and in week one we talked about words of affirmation. So as presented by Dr. Chapman in his book, The Five Love Languages, we learned that each love language has distinct dialects. We learned about that. So, of course, in week one, in words of affirmation, when you break words of affirmation down, it has four distinct dialects: verbal compliments, encouraging words, kind words, and humble words. In week two, we did quality time. When you break that down, it has five distinct dialects: focused attention, quality conversation, learning to talk, what was another, dead seas and babbling brooks. Well, that's interesting, dead seas and babbling brooks. But anyway, moving on. and quality activities. Well, today in week three, we're going to talk about receiving gifts. And receiving gifts has two distinct dialects. You're the best investment. I want y'all to say that with me. I know I can't hear you all, but just say that. You are the best investment. You are the best investment. That's one dialect. And then the second dialect is the gift of self. So we're going to be breaking those things down, and that is why we're here today. We're going to discuss that third language, receiving gifts. And when we're done with this discussion today, we hope that you are able to define and list those dialects of receiving gifts. And to help us achieve this primary goal, to help us achieve this awesome discussion on receiving gifts, Mary is going to talk a little bit about what small steps we're going to take.
All right, so our objective for today is we're going to define receiving gifts, list and discuss receiving gifts dialects. We're going to give you some examples of receiving gifts, and then we're going to talk about receiving gift barriers.
Man, that's interesting. Because we always try to know what to do, you know. But this discussion, throughout the whole month, we're going to talk about how to do it, right? We know what to do. We're going to talk about how to do it. And today we're going to interject what not to do, right? All right, so let's get started. How about this?
All right, so let's talk about the first one, which is defining receiving gifts.
That's our first objective. Have a good working definition of it, right?
So defining receiving gifts is a tangible thing that you can physically touch and possess that makes the recipient say, "Look, he was thinking of me," or "she remembered me." Gifts are visual symbols of love.
Now, I have a personal belief that you should give a person a gift that makes them think of you. It is sort of my formula, if you will, and my process that lessens the challenge of gift giving for me. Because a lot of people really wonder, What should I get you? Well, you know, what should I get Mary, you know, for a gift? But if I give her a gift that makes her think of me, and she gives me a gift that lets me know that she remembered me, that is the working definition of receiving gifts. So let's quickly get into our second objective here, and that is to list and discuss receiving gifts dialects. And there are two. "You're the best investment" is the first one. And "the gift of self" is the second one. "You're the best investment" is the first one. And "the gift of self" is the second dialect. So let's talk about that a little bit. "You're the best investment." What do you think Gary Chapman meant by this? You know, having studied this for years and, you know, come across this concept of giving gifts and receiving gifts as being one of the five love languages. And then to say, in order to articulate that love language, we consider ourselves as the best investment. What does he mean by that? Well, what I gathered from reading the book is that the act of equating your value of money to the importance of showing love to a person whose primary love language is receiving gifts. So what we're saying here is a lot of people, they might say, you know, I don't know if I want to spend some money on getting a gift for someone, right? You know, they, I don't know if I want to spend this much money on a gift, right? Because I value money as something that needs to be saved or something that needs to be, you know, kept close to the breast. You know, it's a frivolous thing, if you will, to spend money on giving a gift to somebody. Well, for a person that whose love language is receiving gifts, right, you have to acknowledge that this person loves to receive gifts. It fills their love tank. So then as the giver, you have to kind of consciously change your value in terms of how you see money in order to release those funds and to buy Mary that gold necklace. A little joke on that, but or to buy those earrings or to buy her a car, you know, as a gift. Because you know that your spouse or your loved one loves to receive gifts that fills their tank. You can't let money be the dictator here. You can't let your value of how you see money be the dictator. If you know that that's going to fill that her love tank, go ahead on and spend that money and get that gift. Because what we're trying to do here is the constant throughout all of this conversation is we're trying to show love. We're trying to express love.
Yeah, in the book, Dr. Chapman talks about how you may have a person in a relationship that's a spender. And typically when the person in the relationship is a spender, they really don't have any difficulty in purchasing gifts because, you know, spending is a way of life for them. And then,
that's how they value money.
And then you may have a person that is a saver, or some people might think that they're thrifty, and some people may even think that they're cheap. But they may not be thrifty, they may not be cheap, but they just value saving money. So that person may have a little bit more of a challenge in spending money and buying gifts for a person because that may not be their love language at all, and they may not understand that concept. There's also a little bit of a negative connotation that's associated with being a person who has that love language of receiving gifts. I read a post by a pastor one time, and he was actually speaking about love languages, and he was talking about how some women are perceived as gold diggers because they expect to, you know, have they expect their mate to give them gifts. But he took a different spin on it. He says that person may not be a gold digger at all, but that person is expressing their love language. And that was very perceptive that he took that concept and really related it to the love language. So if you know someone who likes gifts, who likes to get, you know, these visual symbols of love, it's nothing wrong with that. That's just how they actually feel as though they are loved. Dr. Chapman also gave an example of a couple where the wife and the husband were married, and the wife, her love tank was just empty because the husband was very regimented and he was very routine. And he never gave her any kind of gifts or anything, and nothing swayed him from his routine. He was a very regimented person. So they went to a Dr. Chapman seminar on the love languages.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came back from the seminar, the husband started buying his wife small gifts. First he bought her, a potted plant.
A rose.
No, I'm sorry. First he bought her a rose.
Right.
And then he bought her a potted plant.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took her out to dinner. And he had not done those things before. And she asked him, you know, what was the change?
Now, this couple was having some problems.
Oh, yeah. They were having some
difficulties.
They were having difficulties and on the brink of divorce because the wife's love tank was totally empty. And this
was a family of meager means. This was not a rich family.
No, not a rich family. And his needs were being met because she was speaking his language to him, but he wasn't speaking her language to her. So when he started doing those things, he noticed a change of attitude in his wife. And he noticed, you know, that she was more pleasant and her outlook was more positive because he began to give her gifts. And he discovered that that was his wife's love language. And he committed at that point to give his wife a gift at least once a week. And the gift was not always monetary. It wasn't always expensive or anything like that, but it was something. It was that visual symbol of love that he gave his wife, and it filled her love tank. And from that point on, their marriage was then back on solid ground.
Yeah, you know, on page 78, paragraph 3, the book actually speaks to what you just said. It says the individual whose primary love language is receiving gifts, it says the cost of the gift will matter little. The cost of the gift will matter. You know, I can remember, you know, with Mary and I, we might even give a napkin from a restaurant that we went to, you know, to commemorate such a great experience of us spending quality time together, which is Mary's love language, you know. And I'm sure she have those napkins and cards and stuff like that somewhere tucked away. And the same thing for me, you know. I think we all have really a little bit of each of these love languages in us. But, you know, what we're talking about today is the one about receiving gifts as a primary thing. But there is a caveat to this cost of these gifts. It says, unless it is, the cost of the gift matters little unless it is out of line with what you can afford. And Gary Chapman in his books gives this explanation to say, if you are a millionaire or a billionaire, you know, the expectation is that you would give, you know, types of gifts that are suggestive or equal to or relative, I guess, to the being a billionaire or a millionaire, you know. But if you're not a millionaire, that $1 gift can be equal to $1 million. If that makes sense to everyone.
Yes.
It's not how much it costs,
right,
to the person receiving the gift. It's the sentiment. It is, I mean, if we go back to the definition that we gave you, a gift is a tangible thing that you can physically touch and possess. It didn't say it's a, you know, cost a certain dollar amount. It's a tangible thing that you can physically touch and possess that makes the recipient say, look, he was thinking of me, or she remembered me. Gifts are visual symbols of love. And he goes on to say that he found that in every culture, and they went all over the world studying these cultures, he found that in every single culture, gift-giving was a part of the love language.
Yes.
That, I thought that was very interesting. It, the gift itself is a symbol of that thought. The gift itself is the symbol of that thought. So that's like the first dialect, right? You're the best investment. I'm saying that Mary is the best investment. Mary's saying I'm the best investment. If receiving gifts is your primary love language. Now, we talked about this a little bit, the second dialect, and that's the gift of self. The gift of self. Now, this is a huge one because he gives this example. Let me just say this. The gift of self is really about being present at critical moments and verbalizing such a need. So it's two pieces to this thing, you know. Being present at critical moments, he gives this example of this husband who liked to play softball, right? And the wife gets pregnant, and the week leading up to her having this baby, he paints and prepares the house and does all kinds of stuff. But on the day the baby is born, he's there until the baby literally is born, and then he goes to play a softball game. And the wife is like, she didn't literally think this, but this is how it made her feel, that, wow, he was not there for me. He didn't do what I needed him to do, and that's to be there after that baby was born, right? So being present at critical moments is one part of it. That's the part that the spouse should do. That the other part of it, verbalizing such a need, has to do with the recipient. He says that you must verbalize that which you want. That's an important piece of this conversation, right? Say, I would really like for you to stay instead of going to your softball game today of having this baby, while I'm having this baby. Now, you know.
So the wife couldn't, the husband could not read his wife's mind. So being able to really say to your partner what you would like to see happen is very important, and especially when you're dealing with critical moments in your life and you know, it's high impact emotion, and you sometimes you may not know how to verbalize it. So it's good to let your partner know outside of those critical moments that, you know, your love language is receiving gifts, and having your partner there during critical times is important. And being able to verbalize that, and then you yourself being able to recognize what your mate's love language is, being able to recognize that need for you being there during those critical times, or that need for gifts is important too.
Right. So you got these two dialects. You're the best investment, where you are looking at how everybody handles money as one part of it. And then the other part is, you know, receiving gifts just feels her love. It's an expression of love. It's a tangible expression of love. And then being there at critical moments, you know. I think he gives another example in the book where the same lady, mother passed away. And, you know, he was there leading up to the funeral and everything. And after everything was said and done, on the very day he went and played a softball game. And it was those 2 days that she never forgave him for. Although he was there for everything and supported her through everything, but he was not there at the critical time. And she could have said to him, I need you to be here for this. I need you to be here for that. Because I know with Mary and I, you know, we thought, you know, for the first, you know, 5 or 10 years that we were going to get to this point to where we could read each other's mind. You know, Mary be like, you should know this by now. You know, I'd be like, Mary, you should know this by now. You know, you should know this is what I'm going to do, right? Or what she's going to do, right? I'm going to read her mind. You should be able to read my mind by now, especially 40 years out, right? But the truth of the matter is, you know, you need to verbalize your expectation here.
Yes.
That's the truth of the matter. This comes from years of studying across many different cultures. Dr. Chapman came up with this. He discovered this. It's how he put it in the book, that this receiving gifts has these dialects of you're the investment and you're the best investment and the gift of self. Now, Mary's going to give us some examples of receiving gifts, and then we're just going to recap everything so that we can bring all of the new listeners up to speed, okay?
Well, I have a confession to make, and here's my confession. Receiving gifts is one of the most difficult love languages to me. It is the one that I have the most blind side on, is receiving gifts. I don't understand receiving gifts. And this happens to be several of my children's secondary gift and my husband's secondary gift. Children's secondary language and my husband's secondary language. So I kind of have to try to understand it the best that I can. So I'm one of those people that not that good at giving gifts, because I am such a practical person. You know, I'm one of those people that would give somebody, you know, a can opener, or you know, I would give them.
I have a lot of can openers.
I would give them some socks or something of that nature. I'm that person. So, gift giving is just not my forte. What I have learned over the years is you know, to give money. I'll give somebody money. It's not that I'm not a giver. I am a giver, but I'm just so nervous when I have to buy a gift for someone. I mean, it literally tries to paralyze me, because I just don't know what to give. And I know some other people that are like that too. And even being a manager and having employees up under me, and you know, every so often you have to speak that language to your employees And even then, I just, my employees, they just know, you know, Miss Mary, she's going to give you money. So that's just kind of how it is. But fortunately, some of the way that I am too is if I find something that I like, so my sisters will kind of recognize this. For instance, I discovered Crocs. You know, everybody had been wearing Crocs for years, and I discovered Crocs. My sister-in-law introduced me to Crocs, so I started wearing Crocs. When I started wearing Crocs, I thought they were the greatest things in the world for my feet. So because I liked them, then I thought, well, you know, everybody I know I'm going to buy a pair of Crocs for. So that's the gist of my gift giving. But I do have some great examples of people who are gift givers. And two of the greatest examples, and really three of the greatest examples, is my two nieces, Joy and Amber. So I hope they're listening tonight. They are the greatest gift givers that I have ever seen. So I'm going to give you a couple of examples of what they've given me. So a few years ago, we were all in St. Louis together, and we all decided, the nieces and the nephews, cousins, that we were going to go to a Cardinals game, Cardinals baseball game. So it was in the new stadium that they have, and we had a great, man, we had great seats, and we could see the ball field. Oh, it was such a beautiful day. It wasn't too hot or too cold, but it was very, very sunny in the part that we were sitting in. And while we were sitting there, some of us had on hats, some of us didn't. I didn't have a hat on. And every once in a while, I had to leave the stands and go back underneath the tunnel just to get out of the sun. Well, when we got back to Memphis, my nieces then, it was just maybe a couple of days later, my niece had bought me, both of those nieces had bought me the most beautiful hat. It was a hat, it had the netting in the back, but in the front it had just such a beautiful floral pattern in the front and a nice little bib. And they had thought about me that if we had ever been in that situation again, I would have a hat to cover my head and to shade me. And I just never forgot that, and I still have the hat to this day, and I really cherish that. That was just such a very thoughtful gift from them. And I'm not the only one. They give thoughtful gifts to all of their aunts and to their grandmother. They are just the best at really, really giving out some really great gifts. The other person that I have an example for is that gives great gifts is my daughter Marissa. My daughter Marissa gives out the greatest gifts. Her secondary love language is receiving gifts. But what she does is she buys me gifts that she knows that I'm not going to buy for myself. Because she knows that, you know, I have this saver mentality. I used to call myself cheap. I used to call myself thrifty. And the Lord was like, no, stop saying that. You're just a saver. I'm a saver. So, she will go and she will buy me something that she knows I'm not going to buy myself. So, for instance, she bought me just some beautiful makeup and this whole expensive hairline for natural hair. Because she knows I probably would not have ever bought that for myself because of the cost of it. And she went and did that. I am one of those people that you know, I don't really care for purses or anything like that. You know, I don't judge anybody who does that. It's just not my thing. But she will go and buy me the most beautiful purses because she knows her mom is not going to spend that money for a purse. But she'll go and buy me the most beautiful purses, and I really appreciate that because she knows I'm not going to buy it for myself. So to me, those are two great examples of folks that really are thoughtful in their gift giving. And Lenny is also thoughtful in his gift giving as well. I have tried to be thoughtful in my gift giving to him, but I'm telling you, it's like throwing a dart at a target. I don't always get it right. And sometimes he has said to me, do you know me at all? Because of the gift that I have given him. And so, but, you know, I really do try. So, for those folks out there who are not the greatest at giving gifts, here's some examples. And for those folks out there who are great gift givers, here's some examples. All right? So, number one is, how about having a 12 days of gifts for your spouse or your child or your parent on their birthday? 12 days. The gifts, they don't necessarily have to be monetary gifts. They don't have to be expensive gifts, but 12 thoughtful gifts for their birthday. Okay, how about making a handmade original? You can make a gift for your spouse or for your child, for your coworker, a special gift that's just from you that was handmade.
You know, my sister, Angie,
yeah,
makes these beautiful, amazing 3D cards.
Yes, she does.
You know, and I know her love language, one of them at least, is gift giving because she put time and effort into making this card to where every time you look at this card, you think of her.
Yeah.
Because you know she thought of you.
Yeah. Yeah. We both have great sisters that give really great gifts. I mean, my sister Kat, ever since, you know, I was just a teenager, she has always just sown just great gifts into my life. And to this day, I will always be grateful. And even though, you know, I am an adult, a very seasoned adult, she still does the same thing for me that she did even when I was a little kid. And to this day, I really appreciate that. All right. Here's another example of some great gift ideas. Pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Pictures.
I remember sitting at the breakfast table one time, and our oldest daughter says to us, you know, there is not a room in this house that's dedicated to me. And I was like, okay, all right, that's pretty cool. I think I like that, you know. I'm going to expound on that idea. So now when you come to our home and you stay in the guest room, okay, that is actually the Rachel room, okay? And there are pictures of everything throughout her whole life in this room when she was a cheerleader, when her kids were born. We went on vacations. You know, her husband is in the military. All of these things are in her room, and it's the Rachel room now. Okay? So when she comes home, that tank is going to be overflowing.
Now, she said that to you after she was an adult. She did have her own room as a child, yeah.
But you, yeah.
Now, this next suggestion is for those folks who are like me, who may not actually know what type of gift to get someone. So for those folks out there like that, you can create an idea notebook. So every time you hear your spouse or your child or your mom or your dad or someone special in your life, coworkers, every time you hear them say something such as, I really like that. Ooh, one day I'm going to buy that. Then you will write that down in your notebook and actually use those ideas to actually get them a gift. I did that one time. And this was the one, really one of the few times that I've seen Lenny kind of light up when I gave him a gift. He mentioned about how much he likes driving. And so I bought him a book with the 100 most famous drives in all the world so that he can look at places maybe that he would want to go just so he could drive in those areas all around the whole world. All right, the next one is if you're a person that travels a lot, make sure that you're bringing souvenirs back when you travel. So you would get them that souvenir when you're traveling without them and have it ready once you walk into the door.
Oh, and by the way, on that book, I tried to actually go on those routes that they recommend you take. And if you all ever get to the house, I'm going to sit down with you and show you these routes that they recommend all over the country, and perhaps we can go take a drive.
All right, here's another one. You can give someone a small token when they don't feel like themselves. So if, you know, your spouse is not having such a great day, maybe they're having, a day where they're not as positive as they normally are, or if your child, your coworker, your parents, then small tokens like a rose or a plant or, something that people just like. You know, now it's springtime. And for a child, you know, to give a child at this time of year in the spring one of those windmills, colorful windmills, they love that. They love that, and that's just enough to brighten someone's day. How about just giving flowers? Just giving someone flowers. And then this is a really big one for a spouse, is to send a surprise package to your spouse's work. It doesn't matter if your spouse is if you're a wife and you send something for your husband, and if you're a husband and you send something for your wife, that's always a big deal when they get a surprise package on the job.
You know, I want to add one too. It's called the blessings jar. Now, what you can do is just take a little mason jar and strips of paper and write on there, on each strip of paper, something different. Dinner out, or go to a movie, or purchase flowers, or and what can happen is, the spouse can pick one of those pieces of paper out of the blessings jar, and it could be used for any love language, but particularly receiving gifts. After you have sort of, checked out what it is, like me, I like music. I love music. I play music, So anything music would work for me, But I love to drive, like she said, So if she had on a slip of paper in there, take a drive down to exit 144 in Mississippi and get some rib tips, I'm like, hey, let's go. Let's do that. Yeah, and she would like it too, you know. So do things that make you think about, that makes the other person realize that you were thinking of them.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be a lot of money. It could be a scrap of paper. It could be, like he even says in the book, you can make a card. You know, take a couple of pieces of paper, cut it into a heart, and write on there, I love you, and leave it on her desk or in the bedroom somewhere.
I'm telling you, I love cards. I have every card that every person has ever given me in my whole life. I have it. I really do. I have a very special card from my son, John, and I read it. I used to read it every Mother's Day, but I read it, and one of the things that he says on the card was, Mom, I wish I was there with you. So I cherish that card. But I have pretty much every card that my children have given me, my mom has given me, my sisters have given me. And if you give me a card, I can tell you I still have it. Somewhere in this house, I still have it.
Now, that's truth right there. But you know, giving gifts is really about tangibly expressing love. So it's the attitude, the tenor in which you give that gift, how you make that person feel is what gift giving is all about. Everything that Dr. Chapman is trying to say here is it should be done in love. Think about Jesus himself. Think about God himself, who gave his only begotten Son.
Yes.
That we may have life and have it forever. Think about that. So, in essence, we're all, you know, have a love language of receiving gifts. God himself have a love language of receiving gifts.
Yeah.
He receives our praise. He receives our love of him. He receives, you know, our thanksgiving to him. You know what I'm saying? He is the ultimate example of this love language to me.
Praise God.
You know, and typically, he goes on in the book to say that if you really want to know what a person's love language is, think about or watch or listen for what they complain about most. And God himself complains about sin the most. He's like, I don't want you to not have everlasting life. So I want you to give me your praise. I want you to give me your thanks. I want you to acknowledge Jesus as your Savior. I am going to give you eternal life. That's an amazing thing to me. You know, model that. You know, track that, and you will be the greatest gift giver ever to live on the planet. I'm sorry. I know we got a little bit off on that, but those were some examples, and I think Mary has another topic where she's going to talk about some of these gift barriers.
Yes. So here's some things that we want you to remember in our last objective, and that is the receiving gift barriers. So first is, if you have a person and their love language is receiving gifts, then don't forget occasions. So forgetting special occasions is a no-no. It's a no-no. If you have a person where their love language is receiving gifts, and let's say it's Mother's Day or Father's Day or something like that, don't say to them, well, you're not my mother or you're not my father, so I'm not going to give you a gift. Don't do that.
I'll give it to them a week later.
I'll give it to them a week later. Yeah, it's a special occasion.
Right.
So you should plan for that. If you have a spouse where their love language is gift-giving, you should plan for that. it's an opportunity to fill their tank, and it's an opportunity to give a visual symbol of love to them. The other thing is just being materialistic, and that is giving gifts that are expensive, but they don't have any meaning to them. So if you have a spouse where their love language is gift giving, and by the way, this receiving gifts can be a love language of a man, and it can be a love language of a woman. It's not gender-based at all. So you want to make sure that you're not just buying a gift that's expensive, but it doesn't have any meaning whatsoever.
You know, a good example of that was when we lived in California, and I had my team in California, and we had to do like 60-some-odd reviews, the most reviews in the country. And we had to do it all over our territory, which was the western part of the United States, including Hawaii and Alaska. I asked my team to do a tremendous thing. We sat down and meticulously planned it, and it was really against the rules for me to acknowledge them in the way that I wanted to acknowledge them, and that was to give them some tangible symbol to let them know that I appreciated that we accomplished that goal and that we accomplished it in such a great way, right? So I had these mugs made. You remember that?
Yes.
I had these beautiful mugs made, and it had an inscription on them about the event, you know, the task that we had achieved. And to this day, I hear from them that, yes, I still have my mug, and it means something to them. It actually represented that they knew that I knew that they put their heart and soul and that they did a good job and that we achieved our goal. That was a great gift because it reminds them that I remember, that I acknowledge what they did.
And you showed them appreciation for
it. And I showed them appreciation. And I did it in love. It was an expression of love. It was not, here's a mug for you because you did a good job. No, this is something I want y'all to have. And that is a very important thing, the tone in which you give a person something, the intention that you have behind it should be that of love.
Yes, and that's actually the next barrier as well, is giving gifts without love or out of duty. And you just explained that. The intention in which you give, what your intent is when you give that gift, and the tone of which you give that gift, those are very important. It has to convey love, and it must not be done just out of duty.
So, in closing, I want to just kind of recap our objectives, and I want to go back through, like I promised, all of the love languages that we have covered thus far. And we're going to go through that in pretty much detail. So today's discussion was on receiving gifts. And we set out initially, and our first objective is to give you a working definition of what receiving gifts meant. And this is sort of our assessment of it. A gift is a tangible thing that you can physically touch and possess that makes the recipient say, look, he was thinking of me. That rose, that plant, you know, that sweater, that's something for her. And she remembered me, you know. Wow. You know, she gave me that book. She remembered that I love to drive. She gave me that coat. She remembered that I love to look. I've always wanted a petticoat, you know. You know, what the navy coat's called? It's not called a petticoat. It's
a peacoat.
A peacoat, yes. And she remembered that. She remembered these things. And understand this, that gifts are visual symbols of love. Visual symbols of love. In enabling objective two, we listed and discussed the two dialects of receiving gifts, and the first dialect was, "You're the best investment." Understanding how you value money, and understanding that you may have to change the way you see money and release some of those funds to get a gift. And the second one was the gift of self, being present at critical moments and verbalizing such a need. Being there at the critical moment and letting people know that you want them there, that you need them to be there. Don't make them read your mind. And so we concluded that gifts need not be expensive. The worth has nothing to do with monetary or value, but rather everything to do with love. So as promised, we want to go back over the dialects of week one and week two. And I'm going to turn it over to Mary to talk about words of affirmation on that second page there. And she's going to give you the dialect and sort of a one-word explanation of what that dialect really means.
So, yes, we talked about words of affirmation, and there were four different dialects. They were verbal compliments, and that talked about motivation and motivating someone. The second one was encouraging words, and that was all about conveying courage to someone. And then the third one was kind words. It was a verbal form of love, and it was in the tone in which you actually conveyed those words or said those words. And then the fourth one was humble words, which is making a request without being demanding. So either speaking or writing those words of affirmation when they are received by a person, those words actually matter. And for a person who love languages, words of affirmation, words really do matter.
Yeah, so, you know, that humble words, requests, not demands, God didn't say, you will believe in Jesus Christ to be your Savior and you will have everlasting life. He said, those who would. He's suggesting this to you, making a request, not demand. So we concluded that either speaking or writing words of affirmation are received by a person that believe words matter and as such has the primary love language, words of affirmation. So those were the four of that. So in week two, we talked about quality time, which happens to be Mary's primary love language. And sure enough, it has five, it has five dialects. The first one is focused attention. You sitting across the table and eating dinner, you know, you're not fiddling with your phone, you're not, you know, working with the kids, you're looking her in the eye, and you're having a conversation. Full attention. Quality conversation. Sympathetic conversation is uninterrupted sharing of experiences, thoughts, and feelings, and desires. When I asked Mary, how was your work day today? I have had to learn to get into a posture of where I'm listening, and I'm not trying to solve all of the problems of her day. I'm just simply listening, and I'm responding in a way that gives her confidence that I am sympathetic, that I'm empathetic even, to what it is that she had to go through today. Learning to talk, meaning understanding where what my position is on different things, right? And responding in a way that shows that I care. Even though I understand it may be something different. You know, this is one of those things where that help you make your way through conflict, understanding what your position is. Learning to talk is the third dialect. Focused attention, quality conversation, learn to talk. The fourth dialect is dead seas and babbling brooks. You know, dead seas are those people who know what's going on but won't say a word, and they just see you just out there just struggling. And they won't say a word, right? And the opposite of that is the babbling brooks. These are people that go on and on. Whatever comes into their mind goes immediately out of their mouth. Just disregard consequences. So focus attention, quality conversation, learning to talk, dead seas and babbling brooks. And then the last one, number five, is quality activities. Being, doing, and giving together with undivided attention. And we also concluded that speaking a love language that one understands fills their love tank. And a full love tank, just like a car, evokes love. It will take you where you need to go. Try to drive a car without gas in it. See how far you get. A full tank, a full love tank, evokes love, appreciation, and respect for another person. Full love tanks are essential to the existence of a marriage and or any relationship. So everybody should be up to date in terms of what it is that we have discussed today, which was receiving gifts. We defined it. We list and discussed the two dialects. We gave you some examples of some good gift-giving traits, and we gave you some barriers. We talked about that. So next week, we're going to do two to wrap up this month, and that is acts of service and physical touch. Now, my love language is acts of service, so I'm going to try to be a little bit quieter on that one. But we're going to talk about acts of service and physical touch. So with that being said, you know, we're going to turn it back over to Apostle Kizzy and let her guide us through the next part of the program.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Good job, guys. That was really good. I took some notes. Hallelujah. So I can make some comments. I hope everybody else made some notes. And we're going to get ready to open up our lines. I'm going to just spend a little time just giving my comments first. And then we'll open up the lines after that. So please, I see you, Reverend Treva, with your number one key press. Anyone else, press your number one key. Of course, we'll open the line for Pastor Mom and Pastor Catherine first. But I just wanted to, I made some notes as we went along. This was really good. And you guys really explained things that, you know, with your definitions and examples and everything. And so in the part where it says you are the best investment, I was thinking about that it's a blessing to me when someone notices a need or a desire in my life and gives a gift. I mean, that's like a, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, as you said, you know, our nieces, Joy and Amber and Pastor Price, they'll, you know, come up with some gifts like that, that just make you say, oh, you really saw that. You really saw it. I wanted that. I needed that. And I'm telling you, at this point, whatever they pick out for me, you know, they got me a blouse. I think it was for Christmas. And, I mean, now I might not have picked out that blouse for myself, but it fit me perfectly, like it was made for me. And I got another jacket that I just love to wear. And so, you know, it's nice when you get gifts like that. And then what I thought about, too, was I thought about how Google and these search engines kind of got into that in a way. And I'll say it like this. You know, if you Google something or if you on a search engine and you search for something, all of a sudden you're going to get advertisements. It probably in your email somewhere of what you were Googling about. So they really made that into a business to notice what people's needs and desires are. And I know you guys have noticed that, right? Mary and Lenny?
Yes, we have. Yes.
Okay. And then the part about gifts of ourselves, and I, you know, you're talking about the husband and the wife, and then the guy goes to the baseball game, you know, after he has a baby. And I was thinking, you know, what people say these days, I need to know you got my back. You know?
Yeah.
That's the kind of gift of self that person has, the other person's back in whatever situation that they're going through. I'm just saying thoughts that I had. And then when you said about how you give money, and I thought about the scripture that says money answers all things. So it's always a good gift. Amen. And I wrote down, yes, I do have a pair of Mary's Crocs. Do I have two pairs of Crocs from you? I know I have at least one pair of Crocs. And I was looking at them the other day. I was like, oh, I can't wait till it gets warm enough so I can wear my Crocs. Hallelujah. They're the most comfortable cute shoes ever. And, I mean, you can wear them all day and everything. And then this is what I thought about, Lenny. One time we were with you, Lenny, with Lenny and Mary on Lenny's birthday. I don't know if we were in California for your birthday or wherever, but we were together, and I remember distinctly that day that we went out to dinner. I might have been Memphis. We went out to dinner, and you bought everybody a gift for your birthday. That was amazing to me. It just really blessed me that we all got a gift for your birthday. So, amen. And then I just want to say, you know, something about how the Lord had taught me about receiving gifts. Because for a long time, I was able to give people gifts. And I was able to, you know, buy them gifts, give them money, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, I never really wanted to receive anything. I just wanted to give. And the Lord said, you know what, you have to learn how to receive as well. you know, and not just give the gifts. You have to learn how to receive. And this is before I went into full-time ministry. And he said, and you're going to know how to receive. And I did a sermon once called The Art of Receiving. And so what the Lord has taught me over the years is how to receive a gift. And I've received many gifts, bunch of gifts. And he said, because at that time I didn't have money to give back. I didn't have money to be able to buy them something or something. And he said, give them the word. So over the years, I have collected scriptures that I can give to people as a gift who has given me a gift. And if anybody knows me, you know my favorite one, Deuteronomy 1:10-11. And, you know, may the Lord make you a thousandfold more than you are right now and bless you as he has promised you. And so it kind of started with that Deuteronomy 1:10-11. And then, you know, it's moved on to other scriptures, you know, scriptures about you and your whole family, you know, bless your whole family. And of course, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace, you know, those kind of scriptures. So he said, you know, whenever someone gives you something, just receive it and then bless them with my word and they will be blessed. So, hallelujah.
It is an expression of love.
Yes.
Giving.
Yes.
So receive that love. Think of it that way.
And I would venture to say that those folks that have that gift, receiving gifts, I'm sorry, that have that love language, receiving gifts, I'm sure they are great givers and they are great receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
But once again, even in listening to you speaking, it goes back to what Pastor Helen was saying last week, that this just really personifies the love that God has for us. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I want to stick that in. I was just sticking it in.
Yeah, so it was, you know, she spoke so eloquently about that. And now, you know, when I'm preparing for these lessons now, that's what I'm looking at is, and I knew that before, but she just so eloquently really correlated, you know, our relationship with God and how, you know, he expresses his love to us, and he expresses his love to us in all of these languages. And it's just such a beautiful thing. It really is.
Amen.
And just as Zinni has said before, you know, God is such a wonderful giver. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. He is the ultimate giver, even where he says, you know, I'm preparing a place for you.
Yeah.
You know, even when he's saying that to us and when he says to us, you know, to trust me, I will open up, you know, the windows of heaven, you know, those type of things. Yeah, there used to be a song that says, you can't out give God, you can't out, now I can't say it, now that I'm trying to say it, you can't out give God's giving.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You remember that song? Yeah.
I remember the song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he is indeed the ultimate giver.
Yes. Amen. Extravagant.
Yes.
But with love.
With love. and with such just a beautiful tone, you know, with just such a wonderful intent.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, I heard Pastor Mom singing, so I'm going to open up the line for them. Anyone else, if you want to say something, please get in the queue, and I'll check my amen. I was checking my text if I had any texts of somebody who's not able to do that, or that the number one key is not working. Okay, we're going to be with you in a moment, Reverend Treva, but first we're going to open the line for Pastor Mom and for Pastor Catherine. Welcome, Pastor Mom.
Oh, hi. Hi for everybody.
Hi, Mama.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
We hear you well.
Okay.
Did you enjoy the program, Mom?
I really enjoyed it. And I hope you all. Yeah, I hope you all enjoyed it too.
Yeah, with seven children, you've always been a good giver.
And people have enjoyed her peach cobbler and her lemon meringue pies, and people wanted to get from her, and she would make it all the time when she was making those things.
So can I offer a word of prayer for you?
Absolutely.
Let me
pray for you.
You
want to pray for you.
Oh, all right. I accept the prayer. I really accept the prayer.
Amen.
Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Okay.
In the thought of her favorite song, Lord, I Surrender All, we want to give thanks to you for being God all by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We want to give
thanks to you, Lord, for
creating this universe we live in, for creating each and every one of us in the amazing way that you have done this, and for creating such a woman as Willie B. McCoy. We thank you, dear Father, for the blessing that she is for us. We want to thank you for the love you have shown her, the care, the gentleness that you have given her in her life, dear Father, that she has passed down to each and every one of us. I mean that sincerely with all my heart, dear Father.
Thank you so much.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I thank you so much.
Love you, Mama.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Pastor Catherine?
Well, praise God. I didn't say, my notes are not too well, so I might be all over the place here. But thank you all so much. What a great job you all have done thus far, and I have truly learned a lot because this is the first time I've really kind of gotten an exclamation of the five love language, and it's been really good. And I wanted Mary to know that I still have my Crocs too. I have been a person, I always try to give out of love, but I'll tell you what, I've really kind of been cheap in my past years, especially with my husband. There was times that he always spent, especially in our latter days, he spent, he got expensive gifts. I'm going like, why would he spend all that money? We need that for some bills. But he would always, he would get the expensive bit. But I would kind of be a little cheap. And I, you know, I like to buy gifts, but If I found out that you like something, I would get it for you. But if I try to buy something on my own, I have a hard time trying to get it. And then if I get you something and I don't never see you wearing it, I'm going like, well, I guess they just probably didn't like it. So I said, you know what? I don't think I'm going to try to get anybody folks any kind of gifts. I'm just going to give them maybe a card or just give them some money or something, because I kind of get my little feelings hurt when I don't see you with the gift on. So I just kind of left that alone. So I think I'm not a gift giver like you all said that Amber and Joy are, and I just see the joy in them giving their gift too. When they give something, it's like they have joy in their hearts, you know, when they give.
Yeah.
Also, souvenirs. When you all talked about souvenirs, that's so difficult for me to try to find somebody a souvenir. I still have souvenirs at my house that I bought people, and I never gave it to them. Because I said they probably don't even want this. And I didn't want it when I got home either. But I always like to get people something with a name on it. And then the next thing you all talked about was, I'm just kind of picking out the things that I like, was giving flowers. I love flowers, and as Mary's talked about, she loved cards. I love cards also. And sending a special gift, my husband did that one time. Oh, and that I was so happy. He sent a gift to me on my job. And I thought that was the most wonderful thing that he ever could have done. My daughter Pam is a gift giver. If she can't buy you a gift, she's going to make you something.
Yes.
So she is a gift giver. Also, I love that blessing jar Lenny brought up. I think I'm going to use that one. That's good for people when you don't know what to get.
There you go. Reach in the jar.
Right. Just reach in the jar and get it. I love that one. I got to use that one. As far as receiving gifts, it's sometimes hard for me to receive gifts, especially if I know it's somebody that may not have a lot or whatever. And I say, oh, don't give me that expensive gift that you got me such, I don't want to, no. And so I, like Apostle, I had to kind of start just kind of receiving. She always taught me that too. Just try to receive, Kat. Receive. And so I thank her for that. And the other thing you all talk about, don't give out of duty. It must be done by love, because God, that's what God did. He gave to us by love. So I just want to say thank you all so much for your gift. For your gift. I have seen, I want to say this too about Lenny, that I have seen how he has given his gift of music. And I've seen him, he go and play and don't even charge him anything. And so I've seen that in you, Lenny. So I think you're a gift giver. I know you're a gift giver, because I know you get married, like a nice gift. So all right then, God bless you all, and thank you all so much once again. Yeah.
Thank you, Kat.
And I can really see myself. I really see where I stand as far as myself in this.
Yeah. That's awesome. Now, remember this lesson today. Everybody needs to remember that this lesson is receiving gifts. Receiving gifts. So, you know, it has to do with gift giving, but it's more about receiving gifts. Because, you know, it is an act of love. Right? So as you're receiving, love. And that, you know, but everybody's love language is not receiving gifts.
Yeah.
You know. So you got to work at giving. You got to work at receiving. You know.
Amen.
But,
well, that's what I'm working at, receiving.
But look at it as love instead of a gift. Because somebody might come to you and say, here's $1 million. And I want you to remember your brother-in-law when they do that. Okay?
All right, lady. All right. Thank you all again.
All right. Love you, Kat.
Love
you
all.
I want you to receive it now, Kat. Receive
all right.
it, baby.
Amen. And I was thinking about one of the last gifts that Pastor Catherine gave to me and Pastor Mom. And I felt a little bad about it because it sat in a box for about 4 months. And we really needed it. We really needed it. But I kept thinking it was going to take so much time to set up. But what it was a phone set. And the cordless phone that we have, it, you know, you can talk on it for about 10 minutes and it goes out on you. So we really needed it. But I thought you had to do a whole bunch of stuff to set it up because you could also send your cellular phone to that phone as well. And then finally one day it's like, enough is enough. I need to go ahead and plug this thing up. And it is so nice. It's what we needed. So, amen. Thank you again, Pastor Catherine. So, amen. We're going to open the line now for Reverend Treva. Welcome, Reverend Treva.
Hello and God bless and good evening, Minister Lenny and Minister Mary and Apostle Tizzy and everybody else. God bless you, Pastor Mom, Pastor Chad, and all the other pastors and ministers that are listening. And I just thank God for this evening. You know, I was a little late, but I did hear the part about the flowers and some of the gifts you had given. And it really ministered to my heart. And I have Crocs also, a pair of Crocs that my sister gave me, I think for my birthday or it might have been for Christmas. And those are the best. I wear them. Those are my house shoes. But I have mine all day. You know, you can wear it like you say. You can wear them. They're the most comfortable of shoes.
Yeah.
And so... But I thank God, you know, I was thinking back sometimes when I was teaching, and I did on Valentine's Day. I didn't really at that time have a Valentine, but I kind of have one now. Time I didn't have one, and the kids, they were my Valentine. Well, God is our, Jesus, God is my Valentine. But all my students, just about half of them, would bring me flowers, you know, and by the end of the day, flowers and candy and gifts, you know, and I just thought that was so nice. And that would always bring me to tears. And then, you know, here recently, I just got off from Bible study with one a very special friend, and they made me an honorary member of their church, you know.
Oh.
And so, you know, I just, God, that's a part of giving, being receiving a gift. I've had to learn how to give, and I've had to learn how to, I guess, receive, too. But I just thank God. Gotten a lot of gifts from I love cards. So I keep all the cards that I get. I have cards from my mom, a few, and she's gone on. And I also have my own cards with my name on them that I like to send out from time to time. A good friend made for me. And I love butterflies. I have one with a butterfly, and then once it has my name on top of it, it says Treva. And it has a big, giant, a note from Treva. And it has a big, giant butterfly on it. And then I have one encouraging words from Treva. And it's beautiful, too. And I just thank God for that. And I thank God for your ministry. And I can't wait to hear next week. And I just say God bless you both. And God bless you all. And I thank God for Get 'Em, because you give every day of the week, it's about.
Just about.
Praise God. And you're usually
exactly
right with us in between everything else you're doing. And we appreciate
exactly
you, Reverend Treva.
God bless you all. I love you and have a great evening.
Love you, Reverend
okay
Treva.
Love y'all
be
too. Be blessed.
Amen. And you know you're honorary family member. You know that.
I know. Thank you. And I love y'all for that, and I really appreciate that. God bless
you. Amen.
Y'all.
Okay. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Minister Rachel. Welcome, Minister Rachel.
Hi to everyone on the line. Oh, God bless the Yarbrough family. I mean, I was just listening. I had some tears, and I also enjoyed it made me think about my kids when they give good gifts, like Renesha. She makes beautiful cards and jewelry and things like that. God has given her those gifts. And she gives me stuff at the right moment. And also, remember when she sent you and Pastor Mom out some things, like she had painted. She used to do painting. Things and that'd be so encouraging and stuff like that, and her homemade cards.
that's
wonderful. Yeah, and see, my daughter and my kids, they listen to sometimes what I like. I said I like my favorite things like that, and when I was married, he didn't always listen to me. I felt so sad. That was the part I was crying when I was listening to the man and woman of God, how they actually communicate, and there's things that I would say to my ex, he wouldn't listen, so never mind, I don't want to get into that, I don't want to go into depression, so leave it alone, but thank you,
Jesus. That's an important part, that really is important what you're saying,
absolutely,
that part of this love journey, this love language journey especially, is listening. So you're absolutely right what you're saying.
Yeah. And then as I was listening to you both and how you actually took that time to really just listen to one another, how God had y'all to be so sensitive to his will and plan for each other. I just wish that, you know, I was praying to God, I said, maybe one day that happened to me, but I just left it alone. But then I started thinking about the gifts that my kids give me, and I began to get happy because they make stuff, and it's really cute. So I really was encouraged by today's service, and I love each and every one of you. But God bless you
amen
all.
That's awesome.
And love you too, Minister Rachel.
Amen. And I want to say Minister Rachel and her family have given me gifts for, oh gosh, it's been like 15, 20 years now. And I was just thinking of this. You probably don't even remember it. It's been so long ago. You gave me this Dead Sea Intensive Foot Care Lotion. And I've been buying it again. It's been the best lotion I've ever had for my feet. And so I buy again and again. And I was thinking about it when they were saying Dead Sea and Babbling Brook last week. And I was like, you know, somebody may be a Dead Sea and they may not say much, but the Dead Sea has healing nutrients in it. So sometimes those people who don't say much, there's healing in that as well. Amen.
Amen.
What a
amen.
Question, right? Amen.
You know, I know we focused a lot on that first dialect of receiving gifts, but the second one, the gift of self, you know, is equally important. You know, in our most critical moment in our lives,
yeah.
You know, Apostle Kizzy, you were right there. You were right there.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord.
You know, and you know, I've never forgotten that. I've memorialized it even in a book, you know. But when you have people that's there at the critical moments in your life, you etch mm-hmm. that in your memory. You etch that in your heart.
Amen.
You know, and because you know that that is an act of love. You know, Pastor
Amen.
Dolores, you know it's an amazing thing.
Ministry Lane.
Yeah, Ministry Lane.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing when people are there in the critical moments. It's an amazing thing. It has to be that way. That is a part of the beginning of healing. That's a part of the trajectory of where a thing can go. And for us, it was pointing us towards celebration.
Amen.
You know. So you know, the gift of self. That dialect, that method of receiving gifts is very important.
Amen. Amen. And like I said, you know, for people to know you, you know, somebody got my back.
Somebody
you know,
got my
amen.
Back.
Mm-hmm. And then I thought about the scripture, greater love has no man than he lay down his life. For a friend, and that's like the gift itself, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, laying down our life like Jesus did it, but just to give someone that undivided attention to, you know, to be there, fully engaged, you know, for that person at that time, that's so important. And you just, and when somebody does it for you, when you really need it, you never forget it.
Exactly.
Amen. Amen. Okay, Pastor Price. Hallelujah. Amen. And I see you, Minister Joyce. Good to see you. I've been thinking about you. God bless you. Good to see you on with for a little bit tonight. Amen. Pastor Price, did you want to say anything?
I wasn't going to say anything tonight. I was just going to say I enjoyed everything and just praise God for you all tonight. And God bless you and love you both. And y'all have a good night now.
Love you.
Amen.
Love you, Helen.
Amen.
Okay, love you
we
too.
Love you. Amen. I thought I saw your number one key press earlier. So, all right. Well, praise the Lord. It's been a wonderful, wonderful evening here. We have learned so much about the five love languages tonight. And the one that we concentrated on tonight was receiving gifts. Amen. And it kind of, I mean, it was good, but it also went in a, like a little unexpected, but more depth to it than I was originally thinking. And so, you know, I'm very grateful for that. So I'm going to say something. You know, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. We're going to talk about the Get 'Em Radio family of broadcast. And then we'll come back to you, Minister Mary and Minister Lenny. And we'll come back to you guys for closing remarks and closing prayer. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Well, you know, as Minister Lenny so graciously said tonight, that God gives gifts, and he gave the greatest gift to us, which was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave it out of love. Amen. So that we would have eternal life. And it says so in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. So he so loved the world that he gave. Amen. And we are the recipient of the gift, the Lord Jesus, that he gave. And we make a choice to receive him. Now, in Romans 10:9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen. So confessing with our mouth is saying a prayer. Hallelujah. And believing in our heart is making a choice to believe what the Bible says. Hallelujah, that Jesus came, that God gave Jesus. He came here. He suffered. He bled. He died. He did not sin. He didn't do anything wrong, and yet he was crucified for us. Hallelujah. And the Lord is saying, just receive Jesus. Receive him and believe that God raised him from the dead. And we, you know, we talked about that so much because Resurrection Sunday was just last week. Amen. And for us to believe that Jesus is alive, that he is resurrected, is a part of our faith of salvation. Amen. And so you make a choice to believe. Amen. God gave us a lot of witnesses. He gave us a lot of testimony in the Bible that this is a true thing, that he was raised from the dead. And still, none of us was there 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. None of us was there. So you have to make a choice by faith to believe what the Word of God says. So let's do that now. You repeat this prayer after me, and if you've not done it before, you shall be born again. If you've done it before, and the reason why is that you're practicing. You're getting ready to be able to lead somebody to Jesus. This is the end of the end times, and it is crucial that people get saved. Hallelujah. And if you have friends and family that are not born again, hey, you're it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lead them to Jesus. So repeat after me, dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me and God raised you from the dead. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Show me your way and help me to follow you. And now I know, according to the Bible, that I'm saved, I'm born again, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. And now we want to pray for you. We thank you, Lord God, for those who got saved tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, right now for filling them to overflowing with your precious Holy Spirit and with power. power to live right, power to walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Power where the Holy Ghost speaks through them in their very own prayer language. We thank you for doing that right now, Lord God, and even power to read the Word of God and to understand the Word of God. And we give you praise and glory for that right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And we want to invite you to the Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts. We also want to invite you, if the Lord sends you to a Bible-believing church, you got a church around you that believes in the Word of God, please go there. That is so important for you to fellowship with other believers. You can also come and fellowship with us as well. We are every Sunday, we have church service. St. Louis Christian Center Church, Pastor Mom Willie B. McCoy is our senior pastor, and I'm Apostle Kizzy. I'm the apostolic pastor. We meet every Sunday, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. And for all of the Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts, you call this same number, 516-418-5699. Amen. On Monday, we have our Bible teaching with Dr. Lorraine Navarro, and we call it Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. And that's at 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern every Monday. And she teaches us how to dig into the Word of God, and she digs deeply into the Word of God. On Tuesdays, we have Praying in Tongues Tuesday. Hallelujah. And that's our prayer service that we have. So we're praying every week as well on Tuesday. And that's 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. And we have four people who volunteer to pray in tongues for about 15 minutes. And then after they finish praying, we go into interpretation of tongues. And what we found out lately is that there's such a peace, there's such a rest as we come together and as we pray in tongues. And we know that the Lord is praying all over the world, and then he's also praying over us as well. It's an awesome time. It's a rejuvenating time. It's a refreshing time. That's every Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. Then on Wednesday, the second Wednesday of every month, we have our healing service. The next one that's coming up is Wednesday, May the 11th, and it's 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. So mark your calendar, set your phone alarm, Wednesday, May 11th, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, and we call it Prophetic Healing. Now, this month in April, there were 5 healings during the broadcast. In March, there were 12 healings. Hallelujah. So God is healing over the air. So tell your family, tell your friends, let them know. Amen. And on Thursday, and this is and where we are right now, this is the Thursday edition of Get 'Em Radio, and it's I don't know exactly what I can call it, except you come and meet us on Thursdays, you're gonna learn something. Hallelujah. You're gonna grow in the things of God as well. So this month, what we've been doing is talking about 5 love languages with Minister Lenny Yarbrough and Minister Mary Yarbrough, and we've been having a really good time. Hallelujah. And maybe next week we'll go back to Barney and Betty Rubble and and talk about the love languages of different characters again. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's what we have been doing here this month. We have one more week with them, one more Thursday, next Thursday, and that's the 28th. Of April. So meet us here again, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, the five love languages. Praise God. And that's our Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts. And we'll go back again to Minister Mary and Minister Lenny Yarbrough and hear closing remarks and closing prayer.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So next week, we'll be talking about the last two, which is going to be acts of services and physical touch. And then we'll have the inside definitions of all of the five love languages. And then we will definitely go back and revisit those couples that we talk about, those biblical couples. So from the three that you know now, go back and look and see if, you know, any of those languages stand out in any of those couples, those biblical couples, TV couples, cartoon couples that we talked about. All right, so we're so happy to be here tonight and to be at the conclusion of this.
Oh, absolutely. It's been fabulous. I always look for opportunities to share, and I thank you so much, Pastor Pizzi, for giving us the opportunity to do just that. But I would end with this. You know, it's very important that everybody understand that these are five love languages. Love is the key word in this. And how to love or what to love, how to love is what we're talking about, you know. And then, you know, the processes have to do with the dialects and so forth is what we're really getting into. But the overall theme, the overall ideal, the overall intent is to show love and to fill up one's love tank, right? In 1 Corinthians 13 and 13, you know, it says the three most important things to have are faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them is love.
All right. So thank you very much. We love everyone, and thank you for having us again.
Amen. Now, I don't know that you gave a closing prayer. Was that a prayer, Lenny?
Oh.
No, we can close with prayer.
Okay. No, hold on. I don't want you to do it yet. Hold on one second.
Okay.
I know it was good, but I was like, wait a minute. Did I? Okay. This is what I wanted to say. I missed it last week. But I want to say for those who want to bless the man and the woman of God, they do have a Cash App. Amen. So if you would like to bless them, Lenny, I know you told me the Cash App. Oh, I know what it is. Their Cash App is $Lenny E. Yarbrough. And that's LINNIE. E is his middle initial, and then Yarbrough, YARBROUGH. And so that is their Cash App, Lenny E. Yarbrough. And you'll have another opportunity to give. So just pray about it. And, you know, and ask the Lord what you would like to get, you know, what he would like for you to give. And remember, you know, this is one of those cast your bread upon many waters. You know, you may be going through a relationship right now. You want that relationship to be better. You want the love languages to just blossom and love tanks to be full and all of that in relationships that you're in. Sow a seed for that. Amen. Just when you plant the seed, you know, just tell the Lord, you know, this is what I want. I want relationships to be better and to grow. Hallelujah. Or whatever the Lord gives you to sow, but you know you cast your bread upon many waters, and it will come back to you. Amen. And I'll just put another scripture with that, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen. And money and things that money cannot begin to touch. Amen. Amen. So Amen. Let's go on back to you guys for your closing prayer now. Thank you.
And certainly we thank you again, Apostle Barbara. We thank all of the people that are listening for taking the time to listen and to learn. And we just thanks so much for the opportunity. But we enter in prayer with thanksgiving. We acknowledge that God is God of the universe. We acknowledge that God is amazing and that he is blessing. He is the source of blessing for all of those who believe in him. We thank you so much for being the one that has given us the key to eternity, the key to forgiveness. We acknowledge you and we thank you and we give you praise, honor, and glory, dear Father. We confess in our own hearts, dear Father, our sins, that we are not perfect people, that we ask your forgiveness, dear Father, that not only you, your forgiveness, but that we forgive each other, dear Father, that we clean that slate, make it clean. And not only that, dear Father, but because you have created this thing called forgiveness, that we can forgive ourselves. We can forgive ourselves right now, dear Father. We thank you for that. And then, dear Father, we give thanks and gratitude. We just have a heart and a mind of thanksgiving, dear Father, for the breath that you have given us, for the hope that you have given us, dear Father, and for the love that you continue to show us, that you will show us, and that you have shown us, dear Father. And then finally, dear Father, I pray for everyone that's listening, not only for those who are listening, not only for those who have put this together, dear Father, but for all of the people that are represented by each and every person on this phone and in this ministry, dear Father, as it goes on down and trickles down into the various age groups, into the various friends and family, that they can find hope and love and joy through the love languages that we are teaching and that we ourselves are learning about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you guys and pray for your strength as you go on tonight. Have a blessed night, everyone. Love you all.
Yes. Y'all tell the people that, no? Huh?